take your Bibles, please turn to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 1. 2 Samuel, chapter 1, we'll read verses 21 through 25 together. 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. And we will read this passage responsively. 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. The mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there shall the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. In their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. And let's finish on verse 25 together. Ready? How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. God, you have reminded us once again that you are the one that controls everything here in this life, in this world, in this universe. Father, as we stand, we're amazed that you would do such a work here in this place. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May the Holy Spirit rest upon him and rest upon this place. God, it's not a building where you dwell. It's the heart of your believers. Father, please do your work tonight as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Gentlemen, if you need to take your jacket off, you feel free to do so. I knew you would. All right. Well, I want you to listen to me on purpose this evening. I really and truly believe what I'm going to say to you is going to be very, very helpful. I have never heard a sermon exactly like this one. I do not think that I'll be extremely bombastic. And because you're hot, and I know that heat makes you tired, it may make it a little more difficult for you to pay attention, but I do want you to pay attention, and I want you to pay attention on purpose. I'll read to you again one verse. 2 Samuel 1:25, it says, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? In this passage, what's happening here is David is lamenting the death of Saul and Jonathan. I'm going to borrow that statement that David makes. That statement, the mighty are fallen in the midst of the battle. You know, through history, many a great leader has fallen into sin. Through history, many a great leader has made a mistake and fallen away from God. Now, let me explain. The percentage of mighty Christian leaders that have fallen in the midst of the battle is very small compared to the percentage of non-Christian leaders that have messed up their lives. I want you to keep that in mind. You be very, very careful to realize many people that are in leadership do what leadership's supposed to do. And when you're born again, you have a 100% better chance of doing right than when you're not born again. Somehow we get this idea if a Christian leader makes a mistake, that there's a higher percentage of that goes on than the percentage of failures out there in the world, and that's not true. Here's what you do sometime. Check the morality rate of lost lawyers. Check the morality, the percentage of people that are in politics that are lost, and you check up on their integrity. Check on the percentage of them that are actually of high integrity or of a high morality. Now, be careful that you don't crucify the leaders around you because leaders do fall. They do make mistakes. You look in the Bible. It's all the way through the Bible. You take, for instance, David, the one that was lamenting the death of Saul and Jonathan. David here, we know in his life, David made a terrible mistake. Now, David was a great man. David was a great leader. But there was a time in David's life when David made a terrible mistake. We know that David committed adultery. And then David ends up killing Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, the one with which he committed adultery. Then there's Peter. We know that Jesus was on his way to the crucifixion, and Peter followed him afar off. Now, Peter was a great man. Peter was a powerful leader, and if you don't believe that, you check later on in Peter's life, and he preaches the day of Pentecost and has 3,000 people that are saved and that they get baptized. He was a great man, but Peter followed Jesus afar off on the way to the crucifixion, and Peter, he lies. Not only does he lie, he denies that he's a Christian. He curses. I mean, here is a Baptist preacher throwing a tizzy. He's lying, he's cussing, and he's denying that he's even a Baptist preacher. Hey, people fall. Leaders make mistakes. I think of Moses. Moses was leading the children of Israel in the wilderness. What happens? Moses, in a fit or in a rage, He throws a temper tantrum, and as a result of it, God said, because of the way you behaved, you will not get to enter into the promised land. You'll look at it from over here, but you won't enter that promised land. You look at Jonah. Jonah was a powerful man. He ends up preaching a revival, and that revival, there are multiplied thousands of people in a huge city that get born again. But you have to understand, Jonah, he also fell. Jonah ran from the will of God. I mean, Jonah got on a boat. He said, if God wants me going north, I'm going south. I'm not willing to do what God wants me to do. And spiritually, Jonah fell flat on his face. Let's leave the Bible. Let's talk among the ranks of fundamental Baptist Christians. For instance, I knew a man, I think, probably the greatest bus captain ever in the United States of America. This man was phenomenal. He started one little bus route. Before long, that route had split to two, and then to three, and then to four, and to five. There were times when that man's bus route would run as many as 50 buses. One man. It all started with one man. But that man got away from God. He became immoral, and he fell. Oh, the number of people that he hurt. But wait, not just a bus captain. I knew a great musician. I'm talking about a man that when he would get up to sing, he would thrill the crowds. He sang to crowds of 5,000 and 6,000 and 7,000 people. He had tapes of himself singing. Oh, he could take you into the heavenlies. He had such a span on his voice. He could sing deep. He could sing high. He could sing every part. And I'm telling you, the guy had a set of lungs on him. When he would sing, it would just thrill you. And his ability was amazing. Oh, but that man, he got to running with the wrong crowd. He got to running with the wrong crowd, and he messed up. He became a disloyal man. He messed up, and now he only sings to 20 and 30 at a time. But at one time, one of the finest male soloists in all the United States of America. Then, I knew, and still do, an assistant pastor. A fine assistant pastor. He and one of his relatives were working together, building a great and a powerful church. That man became disloyal to his own relative, split that church, and walked away hurting many, many people. Hurting many people. Hey, people fall. People make mistakes. I know a pastor. He was running 3,000 people in his church. He became full of pride. He became arrogant. He got to the point where he felt like he was above evil. He got to the point where he just thought that he didn't have to walk with God anymore. He was talented. He was a great speaker. He had leadership, but he forgot. You need God. You don't need just leadership. You just don't need talent. You need God. And it went to his head, and he became arrogant, and he stopped walking with God, and he fell. And that man, one day, everybody in fundamental circles knew exactly who he was, knew exactly where his church is. He's not in the ministry at all anymore. Not at all. He doesn't preach a lick. He is not in the ministry. I don't even know where he is. He's probably about 55 years old, if you will, but he's not in the ministry. I'm talking about a man that was pastoring a church of 3,000 people, and on a high day, he'd have 4,000 or 5,000 people in his church. I know of a powerful missionary. He is no longer on the mission field. He was seeing lives changed by the thousands, but selfishness and self-centeredness came into his life, and he fell. Now, listen to me. What in the world are you and I to do when a leader falls? What are we to do? How are we to behave? How are we to respond? And so you know, it happens. It happens. It started in the book of Genesis, went all the way through the New Testament, all in the history of the United States of America and every great country, both saved and lost people that were to be, they were set up, they were leaders, they were to be people of integrity, they sinned against their God, and they fell flat on their face, and there were all sorts of people that admired them, that were confused and hurt, and I'm asking myself, how in the world should I react? How should I behave? Now, I hope to God that the leadership of this church stays strong. I hope the men that God allows us to hire as employees and staff members, I hope they stay strong. I hope they never make a moral mistake. I hope they never sin against God and fall on their face and do wrong. I hope the lay people that are leaders in our church never do wrong. But I have to tell you something. Somewhere along the way, somebody's liable to make a bad mistake. Now, what are we going to do when it happens? I hope it doesn't happen. Well, let me tell you this evening what I think we ought to do. But listen very carefully. Number one, I want you to know that everybody is somebody's leader. Everybody is somebody's leader. You say, Brother Owen, you get those leaders. Well, you better stop and realize something. There is nobody in this building, child or adult, that doesn't have somebody else watching, admiring, or following them in one way or another. Hey, everybody is a leader to somebody. So as I talk about how we're going to respond if a leader makes a tragic mistake, you better stop and realize you are responsible as a leader to watch what you do with your life because somebody's watching you. Hey, Sunday school teacher, somebody is watching you. Somebody looking up to you. Hey, assistant Sunday school teacher, somebody has their eye on you. Somebody is going to pattern their life after you. Hey, bus captain, somebody's watching you. Somebody is admiring you. You are the greatest leader to somebody. There is some bus kid, they don't even know who I am. Now, I walked through this building one day, and there was a bunch of bus kids in here, and one girl came up to me, and she said, "Hey, you're the man. You're the big man." What she's saying, I was the pastor, but she didn't know my name. She hardly ever saw me, but I'll tell you this. She saw her bus captain week in and week out. That bus captain would go by and spend time in that home. That bus captain would bring them to church and take them home. That child came over to junior church. She didn't have the privilege of sitting in big church and really didn't even know my name, but knew the bus captain's name. Now, bus captain, somebody's watching you. Bus worker, somebody's watching you. You're a leader. Hey, choir member, let me tell you something. You sat on the platform of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. It is a leadership position, and somebody's watching you. Hey, ladies, Some little girl's watching every move you make. She watches the way you walk, the way you dress, the way you talk. She watches if you turn your nose up at something the preacher says. Somebody's watching you. Hey, special music participant, you're leading somebody. You don't know who they are, but they have a letter of admiration already written in their heart. You'll receive it someday. Hey, usher, somebody's watching you. Hey, parent, somebody's watching you. Some little person that lives in your home, they're watching every move you make, and you are their leader, Dad, and you're their leader, Mom. Hey, Grandma. Hey, Grandpa. Somebody's watching you. Now, you're a leader whether you like it or not. Hey, teenager. Every teenager in this building tonight, I want you to know somebody's watching you. There is some other teenager that may be watching you. Hey, teenager, there is somebody tonight that's a little one. There's a first grader. And you teenagers, you do not realize how big and how important you are in the eyes of the grade schoolers. And they're watching you. And they want to be the kind of Christian that you are. And they want to go to Young Fundamentalists like you do. And they want to sing in some teenage group like you do. You are a leader to somebody, teenager. I may not be able to point to them and tell you who is watching you, but I'll guarantee you every person from this corner of the building all the way across to that corner of the building, somebody is watching you. Hey, Christian, you go to work tomorrow. You may go and work on some construction crew. Let me tell you something. Somebody on the crew is watching you. You are a leader to them. Hey, gal, you'll go out and you'll type some letters in some office somewhere, and you don't know it, but there's a young Christian lady there. She's watching every move you make. She wants to see how you behave at lunch. She wants to see what you're made of. She wants to see what kind of Christian she ought to be. She's watching you. Children, you listen to me. Every child in here, another child is watching you. Listen now. Hey, you say, I'm a kindergartner. Well, let me tell you something. Hey, there are some little 2 and 3 year old children. They're watching you. They want to see how you're going to live. So I'm a first grader. There's a kindergartner watching you. I'm a second grader. There's some first graders watching you. I'm a third grader. There's some second graders watching you. I'm a fourth grader. There's some third graders watching you. I'm a fifth grader. There's some fourth graders watching you. I'm just a sixth grader. There's some first and second and third and fourth and fifth graders watching you. You say, I'm a blonde. There's some kindergartners watching you. Everybody under the sound of my voice, you better stop and realize something. Somebody is being led by you. See, I didn't ask for it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's happening. Every Christian in here, some of you Christians have been saved for a while. There's some brand new Christian. They're watching you. For some reason, they've got their eye on you. You see, everybody is somebody's leader. Now, what in the world are we to do when a leader falls? What do we do when they go into sin? What do we do when they fall flat on their face? Let me tell you what I think we ought to do. First, if a leader falls, you need to understand the Bible is still true. If a leader falls, the Bible is still true. Psalm 119, verse 51 says, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Here the psalmist says there were some proud people and they have confused me. The word derision there means I was confused. Somebody caused me to get confused. But the psalmist said, though some leader confused me, he said this, yet have I not declined from thy law. You see, just because the leader messed up doesn't make the Bible not true. Oh, we're silly about this. If a leader falls, the Bible is still true. The Bible's still the Word of God. The fall of man does not mean the fall of God. Hey, I want you to follow leadership. I think when we don't follow leadership, it is anarchy. But let me tell you something. You do not follow leadership to the point
that when the leader falls, we think God has fallen. God has not fallen. God is still God. The Bible's still true. The fallen man does not mean the fallen God. You are wrong when you say, well, I don't trust God anymore because of my dad. Why would you not trust God, a perfect father, because your dad fell? Your dad made some mistakes. God is true whether your dad is or not. The Bible's still true. You're wrong when you say, well, I don't trust God's word because of this pastor that I know that messed up. What in the world? Just because a leader messed up doesn't dilute the word of God. It's still the word of God. The word of God is just as powerful if a leader messes up as it was before the leader messed up. Psalm 119 verse 28 says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Just like some of you ladies' makeup's melting right now. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Here the psalmist said, I am heavy hearted. I am disappointed. He's saying, my soul melteth. He said, I am heavy hearted. I am disappointed. But he said, I'm going to let thy word strengthen me. Strengthen me. Hey, listen, I'm not to be weak. I am not to weaken my belief in God's word when I'm heavy hearted. I am to strengthen my life with the word of God when I'm heavy hearted. The thing to do is when a leader disappoints you, instead of letting it weaken your belief in the word of God, you ought to let it strengthen your belief in the word of God. You see, what do you do? What do you do when a leader disappoints you? Well, one thing you need to do is stop and realize if the leader falls, the Bible's still true. Next, if the leader falls, it does not mean that all leaders are guilty of that particular sin. If a leader falls, it does not mean that all leaders are guilty of that particular sin. There are some of you, there are ladies in this building tonight, a man was unkind to you and hurt you, and ever since that one man was unkind to you and hurt you, you've had it out for men ever since. You despise men. You wouldn't submit to any man because of one man, and that is not just. You see, if a leader falls, it does not mean that all leaders are guilty of that particular sin. Proverbs 21:15 says, it is joy to the just to do judgment. It is joy to the just to do judgment. Justice means fair judgment. We want you to have fair judgment. If you want to be a just person, you've got to do things God's way. Fair judgment gives you joy. I'll tell you why some of you are miserable. You have been unjust in your judgment of leaders. You've been unjust. Why? One person did something wrong in leadership. You have held it against all other leaders that fill that position. You have been an unjust judge. And God said, just judgment brings joy, which means unjust judgment, there is a lack of joy. That's why some of you, you'll get around a certain leader, you won't trust them, you won't give your heart to them, because somebody else hurt you. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to hurt you. If you want to give some of your joy back, you need to pass proper judgment on leadership. Bill Clinton was found guilty of immorality while he was in the White House. That does not mean that every president in the United States of America is a whoremonger. Well, I'll tell you what, all them politicians, they're just whoremongers. You're not right. I know some politicians that are decent, moral people. We pass judgment. We pass judgment on people because a leader in a given position fell. We think that all leaders are just automatically guilty of the same weakness. Some pastor was guilty of embezzling money. That does not mean that his entire staff are embezzlers. Oh, but we pass judgment. It does not mean that, you know, I've heard people say, oh, that church is just a church full of thieves. Well, wait a minute. How is a whole church a church full of thieves when one person was the embezzler? Oh, but what do we do? Boy, we pass judgment. A leader falls, and before long, we're attacking. We're saying things that are not just, and they're not right. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you what. If you're them truck drivers, you just can't trust them. Bunch of wild, immoral men. Hey, you wait just a second there. Some of my best friends are truck drivers, and they're not immoral. They're not bad men. They're godly, decent Christian people. Oh, but we will stereotype somebody just like that. You take somebody in a given position, and you knew somebody in that position that made a mistake, so somehow we think everybody in that position is guilty. You heard about a Baptist evangelist, and he committed adultery. So, you can't trust any of them evangelists, you know. You're wrong. You're wrong. I know of hundreds of very decent and moral evangelists, and I know very few that have been immoral. Oh, but a leader will make a mistake, and what do? We think that if one leader made a mistake, all the other leaders are guilty of that particular sin. And that's not right. We need to be just with leadership. So, if a leader falls, the Bible's still true. And if a leader falls, it does not mean that all leaders are guilty of that particular sin. Next, if a leader falls, let's remember how much we need the mercy and grace of God. If a leader falls, how about we remember how much we need God's mercy and how much we need God's grace? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12 says this, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You see some leader, and leaders are easy to see because they're visual. They're at the top. Some leader makes a mistake and they fall. Can I tell you what we ought to do? We ought to be checking up on ourselves. We ought to be remembering how if a great leader could fall, couldn't we? We sure could fall. Hey, indeed, leaders are to be strong examples. Indeed, leaders are to live above reproach. If a strong person falls, we had better let it be a warning to all of us. If you hear of some leader that falls, you better just start checking up on yourself real quick. Instead of checking up on their story, you better check up on your story. Because if the great have fallen, and the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle, how about you? Couldn't you? I mean, if somebody as great as David could fall, couldn't you? So when you hear of a leader falling, you better check up on yourself. Let it be a reminder to you about you. David was a strong man. He fell into sin. You better protect your marriage. Peter was a powerful man. He fell because of his pride. When you hear of a leader falling, you know what you better do? Humble yourself real quick. Real quick. Humble yourself. That's not what we do, though. We hear of a leader falling, and we get puffed up with pride. We want to talk bad about them. Hey, at this moment, you're not guilty of the sin they're committing. Did you hear how I said it? At this moment. At this moment. The minute you hear of a leader falling, you better fall on your knees and humble yourself and say, oh, God, if it could happen to them, think what could happen to me. Instead of being cocky and critical because a leader fell, let's be humble and fear God so much the more and thank Him for His mercy in our lives. What do we do if a leader falls? Everybody is somebody's leader. Well, what do we do? Well, if a leader falls, let's remember the Bible is still true. When you get to heaven, I've got news for you. You're going to give answer for this book right here. You can make up all the excuses you're going to want to make up. You can try to hide behind all the people you want to hide behind. But God's going to say, you had a book just like everybody else. You make sure that if a leader falls, that you understand that doesn't mean all leaders are guilty of that particular sin. If a leader falls, let it remind you of how much you need the grace and the mercy of God in your life. Next, if a leader falls, let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. If somebody said, Brother Owens, what's happening around our church? I'm watching dozens and scores of people rising and separating their life from the world, and they're beginning to be used by God, and we are grooming dozens and dozens and dozens of leaders. I mean, we now on our Sunday school teaching staff have 80 different people. Our bus ministry, it's growing. Everything around here, it's growing. And we're grooming leaders. Now, you listen to me. We're going to have some leaders who are going to make some mistakes. They're going to fall. They're going to sin. What are we going to do? Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Let's try to rebuild lives. The Christian army is the only one that's known for killing its own wounded. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Too often, and listen to this, this doesn't make sense to me. Too often, a leader will give of themselves, they'll sacrifice, they'll get up early, stay up late, give of their money, give of their energy, succeed for God. They fall, and you know what they get? They just get kicked while they're down. They get kicked while they're down. And then, somebody who's never done a lick for God can fall, and we want to run to their aid. Somebody that's never been productive for God at all can fall flat on their face. And you know what we'll do? We'll run, go help them. We'll want to get them back right with God. A leader can fall who is productive for years and do great things for God. They can fall flat on their face. And everybody in the church says, run from them. I've got a problem with that. Something is not right about that. If you're a leader in this church and you make a mistake, you may not always get to fill any leadership position. Your sin may hinder you from doing everything, but you're looking at a preacher that'll figure out something you can do. You don't have to worry. You're not going to give your life and give your life and give your life to this church and then this preacher turn his back on you when Satan gets the best of you. We'll try to help rebuild you. Hey, leader, if you fall, don't run away. Run to Jesus Christ. Let's rebuild people. What happens if a leader falls? We need to be very careful that we pray for them. We need to be careful. Let's pray God will honestly meet their needs. Let's help them to become productive again. It's a very sad thing. Most great leaders that make mistakes, nobody ever tries to help them rebuild, and they spent their entire life rebuilding lives. Their entire life, they gave it to rebuilding the lives of others. They can fall, and then what happens to them? Everybody runs from them, spits on them, talks bad about them, and says, "Well, I declare. Well, I just," and we tear them to shreds. You know something? Because someone is in a position of leadership does not make them open game when they fall. We're still supposed to care. We're still supposed to love them. So what do we do if a leader falls? Well, if a leader falls, we should realize the Bible's still true. If a leader falls, it does not mean that all leaders are guilty of that particular sin. If a leader falls, let it remind you and remind me of how much we need God, and may it humble us instead of us becoming arrogant. If a leader falls, let's pray for them. If a leader falls, I want you to understand something. Whatever they taught from the Bible is still true. If a leader falls, if they had been teaching from the Bible is still true. Psalm 119, verse 89, the Bible says, "Forever thy word is settled in heaven." It doesn't say there that God's word is settled in heaven as long as the leader that taught it is living right. It says, "Forever thy word is settled in heaven." Hey, every leader here, let me give you some good advice. Any one of us could fall at any moment. But let me tell you how, even if you fall, a word could go on in your name. You say, "How, Brother Owens?" Invest in people. Teach them the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God while you're strong. Live the Word of God. Leader, uphold the Word of God. Why? If you fall, everything you taught from that book will keep doing a work. It's still true. I'm amazed at people. I'm amazed. A leader can teach a truth straight from the Word of God. That leader can fall, and baby Christians say, "Well, I just don't believe it anymore." Whether the leader makes it or not has nothing to do with the truth of the Word of God. That's a slap in the face to God. God, Your frail, sinful leader failed, so I don't believe you anymore. You must have been a people worshiper. We're supposed to worship Him in spirit and truth. You say, what's truth? He said, my words are truth. So if a leader falls, what he taught from the Bible, it's still true. You ever thought about this? God used Moses to pen the Ten Commandments. One of them is, thou shalt not kill. Moses killed a man. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you ought to go kill people? I mean, Moses, God used him to pen that verse, thou shalt not kill. If he's not, hey, if he's breaking those commandments, I guess then they're no good. They're not valid because of Moses. Not at all. You know, all God has to work with is a bunch of sinful human beings. And we're all going to do our best, but if a leader falls, it does not dilute the power of that book. If a leader's integrity is no longer valid, it does not make God's book invalid. Did you know? I've got to find where I'm at here. If a leader falls, what he taught from the Bible is still true. If a man teaches or preaches the Word of God, it's true with or without that man's obedience to it. If a leader taught on the subject of separation from the world, and then he ceased to separate himself, separation is still in the Bible. It's still true, and you're still supposed to live it. I know preachers that used to preach separation from the world. They used to preach it the old time way. Then they got tired. They got tired of having some people with their feathers ruffled. They got tired of people pulling out of the church and taking their tithe away because the preacher would preach on separation from the world. So you know what they do? They drop their standards. They'd drop their standards. They'd stop preaching on the fact that you ought to separate from the world. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible is true whether the preacher lives it or not, or the staff lives it or not. If the preacher is not doing right, God is always doing right. God is always doing right. I sat under a Bible teacher for a short time, a man that was virtually a biblical genius. He's in prison in Tennessee today. Can I tell you something? I still remember the truth that he taught. It's right here in this old black book, and it's still good truth. The fact that a human errs does not mean that God has erred. And if a leader falls, if he taught you from the Bible's still true. You know something? I have told my children this. I've told my kids, if Dad ever stops attending church, Dad's wrong. You keep going. If Dad ever picks up a liquor bottle, Dad's wrong. The Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I want my children to know that book is right, whether Dad's right or not. That book is holy, whether Dad is holy or not. That book is true, whether Dad's living the truth or not. And let me tell you something, folks. If a leader falls, it does not give you the right to say, I now reject the truth that they taught. No, if the truth came from the Word of God, that's not the leader's truth, it's God's truth. It's our way of getting out from underneath the responsibility of the truth. So what do we do if a leader falls? And leaders do fall. 2 Samuel 1:25, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Everybody is somebody's leader. And if a leader falls, we need to understand the Bible is still true. And if a leader falls, it does not mean that all leaders are guilty of that particular sin. If a leader falls, let it remind you and me of how much we need the grace of God. If a leader falls, let's pray for them. If a leader falls, what they taught from the Bible is still in the Bible and it's true. If a leader falls, don't you quit and and dishonestly blame that leader for your failure. If a leader falls, don't you quit and then turn around and dishonestly blame them for your failure. Don't quit church and try to blame some leader. The Bible says you are not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now that command is in the Bible whether your leader is behaving themselves or not. I wonder how many people stop coming to church and they say, well, it's because of that Sunday school teacher. If you stop coming to Sunday school, it's because of you. Boy, we live in a day and age where we want to blame everybody for our problems. Gotta be my mom's fault. Gotta be my dad's fault. Gotta be somebody's fault. But one thing, it's not my fault. Oh, no. Brother Owens, I'm not serving God in the church right now because, you know, the church I used to be in, there was a leader there that was sour. The leader was sour, not you. Not God. Quit hiding behind failed leaders. There's always been failed leaders, and there always will be until we get to heaven. But stop hiding behind human frailty. If a leader falls, don't you quit and dishonestly blame them for your failure. Wonder how many times people would like to blame their mom. Grown adult people. Well, it's my mom's fault that I cuss my husband. Did your mom come to your house and take your lips and move them up and down and say, cuss, 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 cuss? I'm going to guess that came from inside you, didn't it? Well, it's my dad's fault that I beat my wife. It's not your dad's fault that you beat your wife. Why do we live in a world where nobody wants to take personal responsibility? If you want to live like a Christian, guess what? You can. You can. Everybody wants to blame somebody. It's my brother's fault. It's the old pastor's fault. It's my assistant pastor's fault. Listen. When you don't do right, that's because of you. Take the responsibility for your own actions. Well, I quit on God because my wife was such a hypocrite. You've got to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one. Well, I quit on God because, you know, my husband, he was such a hypocrite. No, you quit on God because of you. You can blame the leader all you want for your disobedience to the Word of God, but it was your disobedience. Well, you know, this preacher, he disappointed me. Did God? Did God? Who are you serving? Every person here will give answer to God for yourself. When you get to heaven, we won't be standing up there saying, okay, let me explain. Him and her and those two right there. Remember that? Remember that, Jesus? Hey, I wouldn't have done it if it were not for them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But Tucker. Oh, yeah. Tucker. You know what you did to my life? You messed me up bad, boy. I'm telling you. Jesus right there. Tucker Kenneth. Tucker. Hey, you know how he is. I wasn't a good Christian because of all of them. Leadership gets tired of being blamed for your misbehavior. Boy, is it quiet in here. I feel like the lone stranger. I know preachers who have disappointed me. I've been preaching for a long time. I think right about 27 years I've been preaching. And believe me, I've watched them come and go. I've sat in conferences and heard them preach with mighty power. Within a year, watched them fall flat on their face. You get this right. If Jeff Owens ever bites the dust, it's my fault. It's my fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my staff's fault. It's my fault. And all of you need to learn to be able to say that. You're to have a personal walk with God. You're to keep you right with God. You're to read your Bible. You are to pray to your God, and you're to keep yourself spiritually strong. And God happens to lend you some leaders along the way. Praise God for it, but they are not to be the ones responsible for your lack of spiritual responsibility. They're not. There's a man who pastored me and said to me, whatever you do, don't quit. He's not even in the ministry anymore. Not even in the ministry. You know, when he dropped out of the ministry, I hurt. I did not give a second thought of putting that book away, putting my tail between my legs and running. Not for a moment. And thank God. You know something? You'll find this out about me, I hope, with God's help. You'll find out if every other fundamental Baptist in the United States of America put their tail between their legs on certain issues about the Word of God and think, I don't want to change. I don't care if they all dip their sails. I don't care if the men 10, 20, 30 years older than me, they all say, oh, we're wrong about the King James Bible. No, we are not. No, we are not. Oh, we are wrong about the old time way and dressing right and smelling right and the right kind of music. We are wrong about that. We changed thy mind. You changed your mind. God's not changed his mind. Well, you know, preachers. You know God? Do you know God? What do you do if a leader falls? Hey, don't allow the devil to scare you away from being a leader. If leaders fall, don't allow the devil to scare you away from stepping up when it's time. Well, I don't want to be a dad because I feel like my dad failed. Step up and do something with your life. Oh, I don't want to be a mom. Oh, no. No, there's too much chance of failure. There is chance of failure, but it is well worth your while. I don't want to be in the ministry. People in the ministry, they fall. People everywhere fall. I'm so tired of hearing that. Well, if I had my... Tired of that kind of failure talk. Maybe we ought to check on some other careers. See how things turn out. Listen, what do we do if a leader falls? Sounds like there's a right way to behave. Let me tell you something. The ultimate leader, he's not going to fall. He's not going to fall. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. He's not going to fall. He's going to hang in there. Let me say one thing. It may take a little while to say this one thing. Let me say one thing and I'm done. Leaders don't fall. Leaders, don't fall. Now, I'm trying to teach all of us how to treat each other. I'm trying to teach all of us how to survive. We respect our leaders. We look up to them. We admire them. But they're human. They're human leaders. But let me tell you something. Leaders, you better make sure that you live up to the responsibility that is yours. Get this. Everybody in this building, you are not an exception to the rules about successful Christianity. You will either read your Bible or you will mess up. You need the spiritual energy that this book produces. And if you right now are not reading your Bible on a regular basis, you have put all leadership on trial. Somebody unjustly is going to look at you when you mess up and say that I'm like you, and maybe I'm not. So won't you give the rest of us a break and you leaders live up to what you're supposed to be? Hey, you're to pray. And not just over your French fries. You're to pray. You're to pray. Mom, you're to pray. Dad, you're to pray. You need to talk to God. You're not an exception. You're not going to make it in leadership if you won't read your Bible, if you won't pray to your God. You're to be moral. You're to stay moral. You need to stop pumping immorality into your home through a box. I'll say it again. If a stranger knocked on your door tonight and said, "This is a woman I'm not married to. We'd like to come and have sex on your living room carpet in front of you and your children. May we come in?" You would say, "No way." Then say, "No way." Do you think because it's happening in an 18-inch square area that it's not wrong? Stay moral. Stay moral. Leaders, be careful. Hey, a message like this is necessary because of the impact of your fall and my fall. I'm preaching to me. Hey, leader, do what's best for everybody else. If you have accepted the privilege of leadership, accept its responsibility. You know, there's more men out of the ministry because of their wives than because of the men. I travel the country. They change their mind. Well, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm not interested. Every pastor's wife here, you live right. You do right. Every deacon's wife here, you live right. You do right. We are responsible to God. People are watching us. I want people to treat leadership right when they fall, but I want leadership to live right, and I don't want leadership to fall. Pray for God's help. Pray for God's power. Stay humble, leader. Realize you won't do it without God. Stay faithful to God. A personal walk with God. Stay away from the world. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Don't take chances with your Christianity. Do what's best for God and others. Every leader here. Every leader here. Because somebody is watching you. You see, the Bible says, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Leaders have fallen from the book of Genesis all the way through the New Testament. Leaders fall in our society, in our community, and in our churches. If we're not careful as followers, we will take that leader and we'll let him become an excuse, or we won't handle that fall right. And then we disappoint somebody. Because somebody's following us too. There's a right way of doing it. Everybody is somebody's leader. If the leader falls, the Bible's still true. If the leader falls, it does not mean that all leaders are guilty of that particular sin. If a leader falls, let it remind you of how much you need God. If a leader falls, let's pray for them and rebuild them. If a leader falls, what they taught from the Bible is still true. If a leader falls, don't you quit and dishonestly blame them for your quitting. If a leader falls, don't you let the devil scare you out of stepping up and being a leader yourself. And leaders, let's just decide that we'll come together with God, fall on our face, and do all we can to take care of the responsibility that goes along with the liberty of being a leader. I hope that we never have leadership to fall. But if it does, let's behave properly. Let's behave properly. Hey, staff men, happens all the time. Happens all the time. I don't want it to happen here. If it does, congregation, what are you going to do? In the average church, the preacher would have never preached a sermon like this, so people wouldn't know what to do. So they'd scatter. There'd be wars. I think we know what to do. God help us, it never happens, but if it does, let's behave ourselves. Let's do right. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved here tonight, I want to recommend to you the Savior. You ought to get saved. In a moment, I'll point to the pianist. She'll begin to play. We'll all stand.
The choir was singing a brief song of invitation. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, when that invitation starts, you leave your seat. You walk down toward the front. There'll be a man standing at the end of each aisle. You come down here, get on your face. Or you just come down here and walk up to one of those men. If you're not born again, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Is there anybody here this evening that would say, Brother Owens, I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I don't know I'd go to heaven. And you'll raise your hand right now and say, pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved. Pray for me. I'm not born again. I need to trust Christ as my Savior. Well, then let me go on. If you've been saved and you never made it public, you come tonight and let us help you to make it public. There are some people in this room that probably ought to walk this aisle tonight, come down here, get on your face and say, oh God, help me not to be the one to fall. Oh God, help me to stop talking bad about the others that make mistakes and let it alert me to the necessity of keeping myself close. There's some of you need to come and say, God, help me to be the right kind of leader. I've got children in my home. There are people in this church where in my community, they're watching me. They're watching me. Now, may all of us decide that when the mighty are fallen in the midst of the battle, we will know how to behave ourselves. And we'll know not to turn on God and turn on the church and run away because the devil shot one of the leaders. And you can be dead sure he shoots at the leaders plenty. The pianist will begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need this altar, you come. You come. Hey, leader. You read your Bible? You praying? You going soul winning? Are you keeping yourself right with God? You say, why should I? Because if you don't, you're going to be the one that's going to sour the reputation. You're not an exception. You're not an exception. Somebody's following you. Wonder if somebody's following you and they're going to read their Bible as much as you read yours. How they doing? Wonder if somebody's following you and they're going to pray as much as you do. How they doing? Wonder if somebody is watching you carefully and they're going to be concerned about the souls of men as you are. Wonder if somebody is following you and they're going to be as faithful to church as you are. Wonder if somebody's following you and they've decided they will give to God as faithfully as you do. Would our church collapse financially this week if that happened? Hey, leader, don't fall. Stay on your faith. Stay in your Bible. Show up at soul winning. Show up at church. Do what's right. Be moral. Be clean. Be decent. Tell the truth. Don't think that you're an exception. Somebody's watching you. Everybody's somebody's leader. There are some of you, you stopped believing something that is in the Bible a long time ago because you lost your faith in the man that taught it, but it's still in the Bible. You thought you were justified in denying God your submission because some man messed up. You need to resubmit. I used to live that way, but I watched some of my teachers, and they were phony. It must not be real. The Bible's real whether your Christian school teacher lived it or not. And God knows we need some Christian school teachers that don't play religion between 8 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but they live it at home, at night, and on the weekend, so young people realize this is not a game. You teach in a Christian school, why don't you realize it is an opportunity and a calling, not just an occupation where you can make a few bucks. One more time through the song choir, please. I get tired of hearing the excuses that people make.
Well, this leader disappointed me. That's why I don't go to church. I used to go to church, but this preacher, he did wrong. Well, why didn't you go from one church to another church and stay close to God? If you had to change church, fine. What were you running from?
You may have a seat there.